Hello, I'm Warwick Ashford with a roundup of IT news highlights brought to you by Computer Weekly. First, a countdown of the past week's five most popular stories on computerweekly.com. At number 5, Accenture posts strong full-year results. At number 4, social networking puts staff at risk of mafia extortion, warns an ex-FBI agent. At number 3, B Sky B versus EDS judgment could shake IT suppliers. At number 2, MI6 digital terror camera sold on eBay. And in top spot, Steve Ballmer on where Microsoft will go next. And in that story, Microsoft has announced a new strategy to blur the distinction between software that runs on PCs and servers and applications that run on the internet cloud. This is also the topic of an analysis by Cliff Saran, featured in the latest edition of Computer Weekly magazine. He writes that Microsoft is finally starting to address software as a service and cloud computing. These emerging approaches, which put less emphasis on operating systems and software infrastructure to running IT systems, are alternatives to the technology Microsoft has focused on until now. Cliff, you spoke to CEO Steve Ballmer. Why does he believe Microsoft's approach to cloud computing is right for IT departments?
I think Steve and Microsoft have a vision that PCs won't go away, but they have to take advantage of the cloud and the internet. So if you look at companies like, for instance, Salesforce.com, Salesforce only provides a service that exists on the internet. Now, when I spoke to Steve, he sort of described that as, well, that's centralized old mainframe style computing. And he basically said rhetorically, do we really want to go back to mainframe style computing? And the short answer is, they're probably not. The PC is a very flexible device. And of course, Microsoft makes operating systems for that device. So what Ballmer sees is the idea that you can write an application as a software developer once. You might be a commercial developer, it might be in-house, but that application can live in a number of places. It can be on a PC or a server. It can be in the data center, where all that's sent out is the screen. Basically, they use a thing called terminal services, so you just get screen painting, and you can, it looks like the application, but it really isn't. And then ultimately, you can actually have the application itself hosted by a third party in the internet cloud. So they're creating this operating system called, they haven't given it a name, but it's basically in Windows in the clouds. And you write the application once, and it can live anywhere.
So this doesn't necessarily mean the end of buying and installing software from Microsoft then?
Not really. Microsoft wants you to buy their software, obviously. That's their business model. What it means is that you get the flexibility to choose where that application lives. It will mean going forward that there'll be far more third-party companies, commercial software companies, that sell software that lives in the cloud. There'll be more companies that offer CRM or anything, any type of application that's available as a service, so you don't have to install it. You just pay a monthly fee or an annual fee and you get access to it.
Now, with more and more companies going this route and the benefits being quite obvious to business, why does Microsoft think that business will continue investing in traditional software and hardware?
I think there's two parts to that. The first thing is that the hardware industry is making huge strides in development. So we're reaching a limit, and this is in this came across in Steve Ballmer's keynote. He was giving a keynote to software developers when I spoke to him, or before I spoke to him, in fact. Now, people like Intel are, they are basically innovating in how they create processors so that, previously we, Moore's Law, which is basically the rules that govern how fast and how quickly a processor can be developed and how fast it goes, would suggest that we're reaching a limit. But what Intel and AMD and other chip makers have done is they've gone multi-core. So while you can only put a certain number of transistors on a single chip, by going multi-core, you can actually do a lot more. So on the hardware side, hardware is really going, pushing forward. Now what that means is that you can get far more complex software on your PCs and on your servers. So people will continue to buy, who need the cutting edge, will continue to buy that stuff. There are certain applications that just can't run in the internet cloud, where you need real-time access to data, where it's you know, things like video manipulation, stuff like that, or image manipulation. It's real, you know, very heavy duty CPU intensive applications need to run on local hardware. But the cloud is there, and the cloud will solve lots and lots of problems, particularly for smaller businesses that don't have a fully geared up IT department or even an IT director, where in that respect, all you do is you're buying a service from a third party company.
Also in the latest edition of Computer Weekly magazine is an article from me about the concerns of UK business that funding for the new Police Central E-Crime Unit, PCEU, is inadequate to ensure it succeeds where its predecessor failed. Government has finally made £3.5 million available to set up the unit, and with £3.9 million coming from the Metropolitan Police, this will provide initial funding of just over £7 million. But this is a fraction of the £25 million initial funding provided for the operation it replaced, the National High-Tech Crime Unit, NHTCU, which was set up in 2001 and disbanded 2 years ago. Several business organisations have said £7 million seems a small sum for a very large problem. Online banking fraud alone cost over £21 million in the first 6 months of this year, according to the latest figures from UK Payments Industry Association, APEX. But architects and supporters of the PCEU are confident the private sector will contribute the necessary funds and, more importantly, the skills to make it work. It is this collaboration with industry and the cross-police force coordination role of the PCEU that Unit Head Detective Superintendent Charlie McMurdy believes sets it apart from its predecessor and is key to its success. Philip Virgo, URM Secretary General, says private sector support should not be a problem. He says considering the UK is spending over £3 billion a year on information security, giving just 10% of that budget in resources and cash to help police take out the criminals would make good business sense. In another article in the latest edition of Computer Weekly magazine, Carl Flinders writes that Banco Santander has put IT at the heart of its acquisition strategy and is in a strong position as the turmoil in financial services serves up bargain acquisitions. Banco Santander already had a strategy to grow by acquisition and integrate the IT operations of the firms it buys to its own in-house platform known as Partenon, which was a differentiator during takeover negotiations with Abbey in 2004 because of performance improvements it offered the UK bank, as well as the expected cost savings of £300 million. Integrating the business of one bank into the existing IT system of another bank is the challenge facing CIOs in the banking sector as consolidation takes grip. IT is one of the biggest fixed costs that banks have, and an investment made in a standardized IT platform by Banco Santander is enabling it to acquire banks and rationalize IT. Rebecca Thompson writes that a Conservative government is likely to adopt a different approach to big IT projects due to the much publicized failings of the current government's efforts in that area. Rebecca, what are the Conservatives saying they would do differently?
They are a bit wary of consultants. They are saying that they would like to cut down on consultancy across the government, and that includes the large number of IT consultants that they currently employ. The Shadow Chancellor, George Osborne, actually said in his main speech that consultancy is one of the things that the government would want to cut down on, or the Conservatives would want to cut down on if they got into government. Other MPs have also said that they would also be quite wary about big IT projects because they've seen the headlines that major failures have made for Labour. And so they are quite wary about embarking on large IT projects. They say that they're more in favour of local IT projects, smaller IT projects that they might be able to join up in later years, but they're kind of looking at a much smaller scale.
Now, how do the Conservatives plan to overcome the lack of public trust in government following the recent data losses?
Jeremy Hunt, who's the Shadow Secretary of State for Culture, Media and Sport, said that the Conservatives, one of the things they would have to do if they got into government was to establish a set of protocols that were well publicised so that people know exactly what the government is doing with the information. The protocols would kind of look at how the government handles information, what kind of stuff they're able to hold, and it would let people know exactly what they're doing with it. I think he also said that people should know and should be in control of whether or not their information is shared and what's being done with it. So I think he was kind of in favour of a lot more publicity over how the government handles it.
You can find these articles and more IT-related news in the latest edition of Computer Weekly magazine or online at computerweekly.com.